Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-doom.
Welcome to AE Doubleback for Wednesday, July 6th, 2022. Coming a few days late, but, you know, what is time, man? Time is a flat circle. Time is a squared circle. See, I brought it back to professional wrist.
Yeah, you real smooth there.
I think time is a flat can of beer. It's gross. Not satisfying.
Yeah.
Time waits for no one.
No.
Time is on my side.
Time's not on mine.
Oh.
Ah.
It's Wardlow versus Scorpio Sky for the TNT title. It's a street fight, you guys.
Oh, my.
Some street fight. There's no cars.
There are no cars, and there's no street signs. There's no stoplights.
There's nothing
to indicate that there's
no street food of any kind.
Look, nope. Early days AEW, street fights happened outside. That was fun. We saw people beating up cars, going through windshields.
Yeah.
Remember all that?
I do. I do have a vague recollection.
Those were good times.
That's how Trent hurt his neck.
Yeah. So maybe there's a good reason why we don't do it out in the street anymore.
I guess so.
Mom said we can't.
Who here thought that Wardlow was going to win? Show of hands, please.
I didn't think so.
I honestly thought, like, the narrative is just trucking along, and there's absolutely no way that Wardlow could not have won, but I was really hoping that they would let Sky have it for a while and just, you know, because, like, he should have had a title long ago, and, you know,
and
so
they haven't given him too much of a run with it.
Yeah, and he's, I think he's getting over. He is certainly getting over with me.
I mean, he's been over with me for a while now.
Yeah. So, I don't, but, you know, obviously, Wardlow has been doing it for, like, 3 years, so there you go. What are your thoughts about the match?
It was pretty good. It was a little quick.
It was
kind of fast. Just like, I don't know.
I don't think we've seen Wardlow in a really long match, which might be because, you know, he doesn't have the cardio for it, or he's just, you know, like, not in a, you know, a place where he's, he can turn out an interesting 30-minute match, which is not a thing that everybody can do.
Right.
It's real hard. So, yeah.
I think what's going on is that Wardlow, like, has some kind of a regular legit job, and he can only really duck out, like, for, like, 10 minutes to, quote-unquote, go to the restroom.
Right. Before he has to get, like, back to his normal job of selling insurance.
Yeah. He definitely sells insurance, or something like that. And he has to. It's rough because he has to completely change into his wrestling gear, and he has to go downstairs, and he has to run down the street, and he has to, like, win the match really super fast, and then rush back. It's tough, but, you know, like, that's you know, we all do what we got to do.
He, like, misses Doubtfires.
Yeah. He puts on fake boobs that catch fire. Every single time.
Well, you know, that whole scene when he's going back and forth in the men's restroom to change into Mrs. Doubtfire or to talk to his potential boss about a TV show.
Not that anybody cares. I have not seen Mrs. Doubtfire, and I don't think that I ever will.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Wow.
Nope.
I am offended. I am offended.
I get it. I get the idea.
You have no idea.
No idea. The idea is whatever. Watch it. Just watch it.
You won't
appreciate it like you would have if you had watched it when it came out in the 90s.
Okay, so why should I watch it then?
You're still going to like it. I promise you.
I will take it under advisement.
Oh my God, I'm so angry right now.
I definitely, with me growing up, there was a list of maybe three or four films that were deemed acceptable to be watched, like, in school, if there was like a special movie day, and it was definitely like Sister Act, Mrs. Doubtfire, and there might have been one or two others that were like on that level. Like I feel like it was mandatory to watch. Even though it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's a super long movie for whatever reason.
Is it long?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel long.
I'm going to pass on movies that we don't realize were inherently transphobic when we were children. It doesn't seem like the sort of
How
thing
is it I transphobic?
Mean. The myth of like trans women always just being men who are trying to deceive for their own nefarious purposes.
But that's not the movie at all.
Yeah, but it's still in that area. No. So
until you watch it, you won't know. But that's not it.
Yeah, that's well. I guess we'll never know.
Well, it bugs me that that's the category you put it in when that's not what it is.
Then I have done my job. Personally, I did not like the street fight element of it because it sort of teased. Okay, I take that back. I mean, that is the point. They had the street fight so that you could go like, oh, well, maybe Scorpio Sky will win by cheating. But they did so little street fight stuff. Like, they didn't break out any of the plunder. Like, there was not a lot of cheating going on, so they didn't do a real good job of convincing me that Scorpio Sky was going to win this thing. So when you have that, and since most street fights in AEW are pretty good, they're pretty good. This one kind of wasn't. And even though I love Scorpio and I'm like, I'm okay with Wardlow. I middled this.
I did too.
Yeah. Same.
Okay. I really kind of just did not want Wardlow to have the belt. I don't know. That's just me.
It was a tough, like, situation as far as that goes, because I don't think it would have done Wardlow any favors at all if he had been getting the build that he has and then couldn't win the belt in this match. Yeah. But so, like, he really had to win in order to maintain credibility. But it just sucks to have to come at the expense of Scorpio.
Yeah.
I feel like that happens not irregularly. I don't remember what the deal was with Thunder Rosa, but I feel like just a few months ago we were like, oh man, like we're happy Thunder Rosa won, but somebody else lost. Oh, it must have been Serena Deeb.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you kind of want them both to have it, and someone's got to have it, and I don't know. I'm not mad at it, but just meh.
Well, what I appreciate, I guess, is that when they create those difficult situations, they don't try to weasel out of it. They're like, all right, like pain will be doled out. We're not going to try to have it both ways with some kind of a weird finish or some, you know, like some kind of 50-50 booking or whatever. Like,
yeah.
they really go for one path out of the two.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. We got a Mox promo next, and it's just, you know, it's a standard Mox promo. I thought it was good.
I thought it was great.
It was good.
Blood and Guts is like golfing on a Sunday for me. That's, yeah. It's evocative.
He's so used to it.
Yeah.
He cuts his face open every time he's in the ring, and I mean, he does.
Yeah, it's true. It doesn't change. Like, nothing is especially different for him about a Blood and Guts match at all.
I'm like, how do their like faces stay on when they're cutting up their scalp so much?
I don't know. I mean, like,
if you get close enough to a wrestler who's put in some years doing that, you'll be like, oh my god, your face looks like a Thomas guide, just rivulets and highways and.
A Thomas guide, for those that don't know.
No. Let them look it up. If they're too young to get the reference, let them fucking Google it.
All right.
I thumbs up.
I give Mox a thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I really miss Kenny Omega and Don Callis.
Yeah, I miss Don. I miss Don a lot.
Look, I miss them too, but I feel like Christian is doing a good job filling in that gap.
I mean, do you think that we did something wrong? Is that why why Don and Kenny have left us?
That's also why my parents split up. Yeah. It's our fault.
That's what they told us anyway. I don't know.
It's nice to get two Christmases, one with one regular and one with Don Callis, but you know, at what cost?
I mean, double presents when both the present givers are trying to outdo each other. I've heard that's pretty cool. Tony Nese and Smart Mark Sterling are going around with a petition to get Swerve Strickland kicked out of AEW. And my goodness, this is a delightful conceit.
Oh, it certainly is.
Yeah, it's a neat idea. And they go up to Keith Lee. Keith Lee's like, whatever. We're still, we might have an issue, but we're still the best, tag team, and we're winning. So
yeah.
Too bad. So sad.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about that whole angle of the trust him, don't trust him kind of thing. Again, it feels like we should have had more, like when you tell a joke, it's the rule of threes. You have the setup. The first beat is the setup. And then the second beat, confirms the pattern. A happens and then it happens again. And then the third time something weird happens, but this feels like we're already, we're already closing in on the punchline of it. And I would like more setup. I want like a couple months of them being really good, a really good tag team and getting along and doing all, and then we break them up.
I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I feel like they're still going to keep going for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. But I gave all this a thumbs up.
Same.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sterling is great, and I hope that he's able to help Tony Nese to a good position.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
Because Nese is so fun to watch in the ring. So.
And he definitely can use the help relative to some other people that can probably handle themselves in and out. So that's definitely a good call, and it just like endlessly is. Like Keith Lee is so, his delivery is always just wonderful. Like there's nobody else that's sounds remotely like him. He sounds so much like a Bond villain who is explaining to Bond that they're really the same. Well, it's just great.
No, Christian Cage.
Christian Cage and Luchasaurus.
Oh my goodness! Coming out of Blood and Guts, he's the Cage people are talking about. Come on now, who doesn't love that?
Oh, and Matt Hardy interrupts.
Yeah,
and he's got Christian a new Cage, shirt, I think.
Yeah, I like it.
Christian Cage says, "You're starting to make your brother sound like the sober one."
Oh, that MJF heat. So close to home.
Oh, he's definitely a much better version of Christian than we were getting.
Yeah.
He really makes those attacks work because I think it's something that a lot of people might think you can easily make hay with, but it's something that you just have to handle so right in order to strike the right balance and sort of land. And he definitely does it amazingly.
Yeah. This is peak Christian. This is where he's at his best. And even though for a year, basically he was a face, which I wasn't on board with. To me, that's hey man, you're collecting a paycheck and not working too hard. Good on you. And now we get to see the good stuff. The Michael Jordan of being an asshole. I mean,
Matt Hardy, it sounded like he called Butcher and Blade, Butcher and Blaze. Did you hear that?
Here's the thing. It's entirely possible that he did. And I'm okay with that because it's Jeff Hardy or Matt Hardy.
He's hit his head a few times.
He's done some. Yeah. And then Christian coming down on him for being a clout chaser. Oh boy, that's some good stuff. And then he's like, "You just wanted to be near me, so you get that rub." Woo! All of it, just top notch.
I gave it a thumbs up.
Oh yeah. We got a blood and guts package, and don't know if you guys watched that promo that I sent you in the chat of Daddy Magic, where he's just, he's just going hard and saying, how tough this is.
If you watch the one that AEW put out, it's the full clip of all of them. Daddy Magic, Cole Hanange, Ortiz, Claudio, and William Regal. They all have a bunch of time.
Oh, well, and my note in here was like, hey, where'd that bit from Angelo come from? I haven't seen that.
His shit is so good. It's just as good as Daddy Magic's, but it's just a different angle, right?
Yeah.
It's so fucking good. And so I recommend people trying to find it. I saw it on Instagram, but you can find it probably lots of places.
Yeah, go out and do that. I middled this promo because the whole package was kind of like, all right, we've seen that.
It was real
quick.
We don't
really need that. I would rather have seen that full thing. Show me that full thing.
My God, it's so good.
Yeah, because
it was just too much time, I bet.
Oh, yeah. So you have all the time in the world to watch extended cuts of promo packages, but not any time for Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes. Yeah, and that will continue to be the case, even if I have all the time in the world. And I say that as a Burgess Meredith in a post-apocalyptic landscape. And you can look that up. You can look it up. I'm not going to tell you what that reference is. Google it, children.
I thumbsed it up.
I
thumbsed up the package.
The blood and guts package?
Yeah.
I guess it was a middle. It was okay.
Right. I guess me thumbing it up is mostly because I saw the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But whatever. I'm still upping it.
Thumb your heart. That's the number one rule here. Mm-hmm. So
thumbing my butt too.
That is not a rule here. That is in no way related to the podcast.
Rule.
I don't think
Robert Chan.
That's for the Patreon. I'm sorry. That's for our OnlyFans. the AE Double Back OnlyFans page. Go now. $4.99 a month. And Teresa will put her thumb up her butt, apparently.
I did not say that.
That's what I heard. That is what I heard. Okay, fine. I will also put my butt up. I will put my butt up my thumb.
Put your butt up.
He's going to put his butt underneath the thumbnail.
Of what?
Of his thumb.
Under the thumbnail, in between the fingy meat and the thumbnail.
In the what?
Yeah. I know. His whole butt, yeah.
He's right.
Jake Hager.
Claudio.
And Claudio Castagnoli with Tony Schiavone. Just talking words. This is just like Rampage with Mark Henry, except they're together in the same room. Mm. And they've signed the thing so that they don't punch each other. And I kind of enjoy that. I kind of enjoy when they say that every once in a while. I was like, you've signed a thing saying that there's not going to be any, fighting in this. So let's talk.
Yeah. Jake Hager actually cut a pretty good promo here.
It's okay.
And I never say that.
Yeah.
So he's been working on it, and that's good.
Sadly, they did not mention their history. They used to be a tag team.
Really?
I think they were called the Un-Americans or something like that. Dutch Mantel used to in WWE.
Oh my God.
Dutch Mantel was their manager, and it was just I forget where Jake Hager was supposed to be. Claudio, obviously, he's European, but I think Jake said he was from Canada or some sort of thing where they could just be like, boo, America. It was real cheap heat, and the run wasn't very particularly good, but I really liked him just because I like watching both of them wrestle.
Interesting.
I hope Jake Hager gets something positive out of doing some stuff with Claudio.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's been sort of disappearing in the background.
Indeed.
At least in my mind. but I gave a thumbs up.
I middled it. I liked it, but it didn't, you know, set me on fire.
Well, yeah, it was the same for me. I middled it.
All right.
Then. Didn't set you on Doubtfire?
It did not. My boobies are as yet unsinged.
And you didn't have to shove your face into a cake for any reason at any time.
God, no. I wish I could do that.
I don't, you can that just buy a cake so delicious. At the store. You could just go and get that, Teresa.
Not the same.
Jan, I don't think you, like, until you watch it, you're not going to understand how genius it was that, it, like, when the chips were down in a desperate moment, Robin Williams, like needed a disguise. What did he find? A cake with icing on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Magically sitting in the fridge. Like, uh-huh. Like he had made it, which is hysterical to think because he, up until that point, had been kind of like a real not great dad, you know,
no.
not together, but his head was together enough to have a cake in there. I'm kidding. Maybe he was at that point already learning how to be Mrs. Doubtfire. Anyway.
The point
is. What is the point? I believe the point is the Butcher and Blade.
Yes. I was going to say, and Bunny, I was so happy. I hadn't seen Bunny in a while. So so fucking excited to see Bunny. Be so excited to see Butcher and Blade. They gave Butcher some fringy boots, which, whatever.
He's got more of a biker vibe. He comes and goes with that sort of aesthetic, and I'm okay with that.
I like the, like, comic strip murderer that he was.
Yeah. I'm definitely on that Sweeney Todd boat where, you know, when you get really gothy, that's my Butcher, but you know, I'll take him any way I can get him.
Yeah.
Come on down to Long Beach where you can get on the, wait, what did you say?
What did you say? What are you talking about, man?
I lost the thread. You know what? Move on.
Funniest. Oh, he had a bit there, but
he
needs to remember what were we talking about.
Here's the thing.
I've
been there, and so I'm not going to come down too hard on him because
I know we've all been there.
It's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling.
Hi, Ramona. Good girl.
They were locked in mortal combat with Swerve and Our Glory. Keith Lee Swerve Strickland.
And I was waiting for Swerve to do something nefarious because Mark Sterling sort of alluded to the idea that Swerve would, betray Keith somehow.
Right.
But I didn't see it.
Nope. Did not. So, yeah.
But this
waiting
is
for the other shoe to drop.
Indeed.
I thought this was a great match. There was like a sort of a botch towards the beginning.
No. How dare you? How dare you?
I mean,
JR said it was almost like a leg drop. And so it was not a botch. It was just it was a move that was sort of a leg drop. And not.
I was like, Swerve almost got his balls noshed in by a skull, but okay.
Yeah. That was a bit messy, but also
still a
great
match. Yeah, it's still great.
That double chop that Keith Lee does, man. Like when it goes off and you just hear it echo through the fucking arena.
I'm like someone's heart just stopped.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And I continue to love Keith Lee and Swerve as a team.
Yeah.
I just need them to stay together for a little bit.
Yeah. I don't have anything bad to say about them. I'm just worried that the booking is a little wonky. I didn't care for it, but yeah.
I just stay together for the children.
Thank you. That's all it is. That's all I'm saying.
Thumbs up. Okay.
We got a promo with, I'm running the show here. How dare you, Teresa?
Sorry. I just get so excited when it comes to these two.
Malakai Black, Brody King, just doing another. Wait, what?
Hobbs and Starks.
Oh God, did I? I
dare you. How dare you?
Oh
yeah.
Boo me. Hobbs and Stark.
And Hobbs got to talk. Mm-hmm. I love it.
He's getting pretty good at it.
He was calling, I think it was Keith or Swerve. Now I can't remember. One of somebody, a trick ass bitch. I was like, I haven't heard that in a minute. Ricky was being held back by Hobbs. He was so like a rabid dog. Like, I'll fight you right now. I'll fight you right now. And then the Young Bucks come out. Oh, and they were really great. Like they were saying, hey, sorry for coming out, interrupting, but wait, I don't have to apologize. We started this company. Ooh. Dang. I just fucking love it. Then they started talking about, you know, a match with the best tag teams, and the crowd was chanting FTR, and Young Bucks are like, God damn it. No, it's just this three, triple or nothing is what they called it. So
yeah,
the Bucks, Hobbs and Starks versus all together against and Swerve in our glory.
I am very much for this match. It felt a little sort of, you know, how you're getting down to the pay-per-view and you got to get people on the show. So you're just like, I'm mad at you for reasons. Okay, let's fight. Let's all have a big old match. So it feels a little clunky, but also there is at no point am I not going to watch any of these three teams.
Yeah.
In a match. So putting them all together, like, yes, bring it.
Yeah.
Ricky and Hobbs, for all that, it feels like they've been backburnered for so long.
They're
in FTW. So like they sort of have a thing, but you don't often see them. And Ricky was on commentary for so long with the injury and whatnot. But also it just feels like, in that time, they have just been getting better, like as a team, both of them,
yeah.
You know, just are just making each other better. And so I'm happy that they had the time to do all that.
Also, they were saying, you know, we could destroy you on the internet, but instead we're going to do it in the ring. we can destroy you on the internet. And he's like, just ask our former teammate. And I was like, oh, shit. Pretty sure Brian Cage is still on the roster. I hope he comes back.
He's in ROH. He is being managed by Tully Blanchard. So, like, he's still getting a paycheck. We just haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be on the next ROH pay-per-view.
Okay, ooh. That's cool. That'll be cool.
And I hope, I hope it's all good there. Like, it sounds like, from what I've heard, Brian Cage is not always the easiest to work with, so he probably rubs some people the wrong way, and hopefully in ROH he'll, you know, get a chance to, you know, to do well, because I love watching him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like how all of that shakes out, because and obviously Ring of Honor has its own people that are going that were there before and are going to be probably there in big numbers still. So it's not as though it's a completely empty vessel to fill with people who aren't getting like enough time on Dynamite or Rampage. But nonetheless, guys like Cage, or we were talking about Colt Cabana, looking like he's going to go over there. I just want everybody to be happy and fulfilled and getting their time.
Yep. Yeah. Same.
Yeah, that was great. I loved it. I give it a thumbs up.
Absolutely. Thumbs up over here. And now we get to the Malakai Brody King promo. Kind of like the Mox promo earlier. Like it's their thing, and they're very fun to watch. There you go.
It's just so cool how different like heels can make their world. You know, like.
Mm-hmm.
There are other people that do bad stuff or evil stuff or gross stuff, but it's all so different.
There are a lot of people who do evil in the world, but I mean, here like, at you know, Malakai like that's Industries.
The theme, right? And this is like mega gothy theme, and I don't know.
In the early days of AEW, there was a huge problem because the Dark Order Butcher and the Blade and Brandy Rhodes all were basically doing the same sort of goth gimmick. And it just all ran over each other, and it was kind of terrible, which was a bummer because I liked all of them individually. It's just, I didn't need to see it three times a show.
Yeah. The, what was it? The Nightmare Family was Brandy's one.
The Nightmare. I want to say it was some, yeah, maybe it was a Nightmare Family.
But they had a lot of, people that I liked an awful lot. They had, Luther and, what was that?
Serpentico?
Serpentico?
No, but there was a woman that was there as well with her.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think it was Anna Jay. No, maybe not.
No, it's somebody else. I'll have to look it up. But at any rate, yeah, like that was, there was definitely a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, and it's nice that you everyone has their own thing now. It's distinct, and it's kind of hard when you sort of let wrestlers do their own thing as opposed to like, I'm going to book you as a you know, garbage man or whatever. Also, quick sidebar, Vinnie Mac's been paying $12 million to women over the years to abuse them and tell them to shut up. So do I miss a WWE? Mm-mm. Not un beat.
Watching Brody King walk into the light, that's just such a- always looks so menacing because he's huge.
Yeah.
And it's
the thing, yeah. I'm always saying, like stagecraft, man, like just it's supposed to be theatrical, make it look theatrical and this or cinematic, depending on what you're doing. And they know how to do that. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, I absolutely.
Give it thumbs
up.
Yeah. Thumbs up. Eddie Kingston's in the ring with Tony Schiavone.
Mm-hmm.
God, this like was you so
do.
Good.
Like you do. He, yeah, it's fun, and it's also fun. I was just watching Rampage before this, and I'm so happy they just sort of like, kind of like Mox. You're like, here's, you know, 2 minutes, just do what you do, and it feels very unscripted because it is unscripted, and it just adds such a different vibe to it. Like, you put Kingston on a mic, he's fucking money.
It's just like great, like that. This is a counterpoint to what WWE does, like in just being like really tight and buttoned up and like locked down, in terms of like what a promo can be, to have, Eddie be able to just go is like, it pays off so hard.
And, you know, they're interrupted by Chris Jericho on a video. Mm-hmm. And we see that we're somewhere in a parking lot, and Ruby Soho's getting beaten up, and then Ty Conti like closes the car door on her arm.
Yep.
And they're all like, you know, leaving her in the dirt, and she needs medical attention.
I'm for this. I also want to make special note of the fact that the way the Jericho Appreciation Society runoff is fabulous. Like, it's not even like, usually when this sort of thing happens, like, here come the faces, they're going to run in and beat up the bad guys, and the bad guys go scurrying off. But in this situation, like, there's nobody. They're just like, quick guys, let's get out of here. Jeez, it's the cops. But there's nobody following them, so they're just scrambling off like cockroaches, and it's real fun.
You are required by law to say that they run off like scalded dogs.
I will not do such a thing. I am not from Oklahoma, so I do not have that right.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
I gave this promo a thumbs up.
Same.
And it's almost actually Miro-esque that Eddie is like single-minded about tasting the blood of Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is a build-up that's been happening for a while. I wonder what'll happen.
I mean, we're going to see Chris Jericho's blood. It's what's going to happen.
I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Dark Order come out because this is Brody Lee's hometown. They're so small now. It makes me sad.
No, Colt's not there.
we've lost so many people. I mean, not just Colt.
Angels.
We've lost Colin five. Angels. Yeah. And we've lost Stu. So
Stu Grayson also gone.
I don't understand how we lost Stu. He was so good.
I mean, I guess at some point they're like, we have too many tag teams. All of our tag teams are good. I don't understand how they get put on the bottom of the pile, but what are you going to do?
It's just been tough, but like Dark Order, and we hear that Dark Order is going to keep it going, and I have mixed feelings, I guess. So
when they came out, they're all standing there. John Silver has a mic. Eve Luno has a mic, and they're saying, we wanted to be here since you guys have been following us since the beginning. And
the six of us are here to stay.
At first I was like, oh my God, are they going to dissolve? You know, we've been talking about this. Oh my God. And then no, they're not. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was almost pissed because I'm like, you guys really need to just do something totally different then. I don't know what.
I mean, I think that's part of what this is like, hey, we're going to kind of reboot this whole thing and, you know, have like a different vibe. I don't know what that vibe is, but
the thing is they were going to have Negative One say what it is.
Right.
But they get interrupted by QT Marshall, and then QT's like going to fight Negative One right then or rip up all of his dolls backstage. And I was like, what the fuck? Hangman comes out just to throw QT in the ring, and they beat him up.
Yeah.
But then they leave. And I was so pissed. I was like, what is the announcement? Fuck this bullshit. This was all such bullshit.
I mean, here's the thing. They probably got a bunch of ideas on the table, but I doubt that they've decided anything. This was just so that we could get fired up to hear it. Build anticipation. Just like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Whatever. Come on. We should all know that.
Anyway. I hope that...
You'll watch that. She won't watch Mrs. Doubtfire.
I hope that their new gimmick as a faction is just being the cast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You know what? I'd be okay with that. They just come in with rice and squirt guns. I upped it. As much as I don't care for QT, like, this is a completely silly bit, and I'm for it. Of course he should challenge a fucking 11-year-old. It's great. Mm-hmm.
It was an up for me as well.
It was also fun to see them like holding on to Negative One, you know, kind of the same way that we were doing earlier in the show with Ricky. It's weird that they bring JR out for the second hour. I don't know what that's about.
Because he can't do it. I think he's just.
But like,
his health is at a place where he can't do the whole show.
Then you just put him on Rampage, because honestly, Rampage at this point is almost as must see as Dynamite.
Definitely.
Like, put him on there and then just have him do the whole hour. I mean, I'm sure that he knows what he's doing, and if he just wants to do the second half, cool, man. I'm not gonna say no, but it feels kind of weird. Like, I would prefer more of an all or nothing situation.
I would like that his intro happened during the break.
Yeah.
So that we don't have to lose any of the precious minutes.
Indeed.
Dynamite minutes on his entrance.
Dynaminutes.
Dynaminutes, yeah, thank you. I wonder if it was like a production thing, like, we have to clean the mat or something like that. Because they're usually pretty good about that, so.
Draw it out. There's dog poop in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, it's rough when that happens. Yeah.
Rough.
Thank you. Penta versus Roosh.
Yes.
Who I just learned now was a former two-time ROH champion. Mm-hmm. Feel like that's something that you could hit a little bit harder so that we could establish like who this person is, who, you know, it was supposed to be a big get.
El Toro Blanco. But didn't he? We already saw him. So maybe they said all that before. I don't know.
They probably did, but like, I didn't hear it.
Sure.
Which is only partly on them. But
there's a lot going on with Andrade and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Penta is so good. He's so badass. He's the most badass. He's mm-hmm. so aware of his imagery when he pauses and poses. Mm-hmm. I fucking love him so much. In like, I just love him.
He Anyways, is fantastic.
This was a great fucking match.
It was. Yeah. It was the first time I can think of, like, we've seen Rush a few times, but this was the first time when I like really like felt something strongly in seeing him. Did he have a match before this?
Yeah, but I think it was the pay-per-view.
Was it?
It was something like that. I can't remember now. I'd have to look it up. But we have seen him before. It had something to do with working with Andrade.
Okay. Well, this
unmasked Penta. Or was it Rey?
Must have been a Rampage, I think. It must have been a Rampage.
Okay.
He unmasked, I think it was Rey before. Or no, it was Penta. He unmasked Penta. Well, whatever. It probably was on Rampage.
But yeah. Fantastic.
Happened match. Again.
They're both amazing.
This was such a badass match. But then, like, yeah, he unmasked Penta and...
Yeah, well, I want to offer this advice to Penta and to luchadors everywhere as that's not a bad idea. I was going to say, like, as a cyclist, I am experienced in protecting my bicycle with a U-lock, and I think that same thing could be applied to the mask to keep it on there. Is if you just get like
kryptonite lock on the back of your head,
big kryptonite lock, maybe even a chain lock might be good enough.
Yeah, that won't become a problem at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's going to be a great foreign object to use whenever
against
you want
your own
it as
head.
Well.
I don't know. I just thought, oh no, I was gonna say something totally unrelated.
was it about Mrs. Doubtfire?
No, it was about this, like,
was it about Long Beach?
I think it was 17 or 18th century women wearing these masks that, like, they were these black masks that they would wear when running errands so as not to have to deal with, like, the social norms of greeting and whatever else you have to do when ladies meet others.
Option? Holy shit.
And it's like a good idea. They, in order to keep the mask on, they had to, it was kind of like Asuka's mask where there was something where they put in their mouth so they couldn't talk either. But, like, I was thinking about it, and I was like, wearing a mask to run errands so you don't have to deal with, like, the normal social pleasantry type shit you got to do. I love that. And that's why I wear a mask all the time when I'm running errands, no matter what. And I probably will forever because that's how I feel. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to run into anybody. I just want to do my thing. Back.
Yes. For
so
it.
I was like, I get it. I totally get it. And who knew it was something people did so long ago as well.
Hey, I think masks, smoke bombs, like secret passageways and tunnels, like whatever it would take to really follow that through to its extreme conclusion.
Thank you, Tuxedo Mask. We have Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh.
Oh, wait. I thumb up Penta.
Oh, yeah. Did we? I mean, we all thumbed this up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
No question there. We're talking about the Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view, which is July 23rd, which honestly is too much pay-per-view for me these days. So we'll see if I watch it or not. But I was confused for a sec because I was like, wait a minute. Fighter Fest is coming up? And then there's like another like named non-pay-per-view thing also in July, I believe. So just like all sorts of stuff all crammed together. But this was a fun promo. Talking about Samoa Joe coming back and, you know, good stuff. I like him.
It was good. We haven't seen any Joe, though.
No.
I thumbs this up because we were given a date Yeah. You were given a thing. So it's like not just some random stringing this along kind of a thing. So I liked
it. Yeah. And yeah, we didn't get to see Samoa Joe. I want him to take all of the time that he needs to be healthy. And if he's like at a spa somewhere or training somewhere in Siberia, like Rocky IV, or just like smoking weed on a boat somewhere, I'm for any of it. I want him to be healthy because I want him to be around as long as possible. So, yeah.
What I suspect he's probably doing is catching up on his delightful family-themed Robin Williams comedies.
Yeah.
You mean like Bicentennial Man?
Yeah, that's right.
Look it up. Google it. It existed. What did you thumb this, Calder?
It was an up.
Okay. We have Smart Mark Sterling with the best friends. Oh my God, Danhausen came out as Orange Cassidy's lawyer.
I love it.
And it's just all caps in my nose. Just, ah!
And all the like courtroom bits.
Oh, like, yeah, what do you do? What do you do when, you know, Smart Mark Sterling, the lawyer, just does lawyer bits? Like, we know what the lawyer bit is. Okay, fine. You heighten it by having the least lawyerly person on your roster pretend to be a lawyer and or a judge.
Like, I'll allow
sustained.
It.
Sustained.
Object.
I allow things.
It was just goddamn silly and magical. And
it was so funny.
It was great.
There's nobody that could have any complaints with this because it's, you know, like, there are really clear demarcations between like wrestling and fun bits. So like, yeah, just wonderful.
Thumbs up.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
We are at the Acclaimed versus Roughing It, which is, was it
the Acclaimed and the Gun Club versus Roughing It and Fuego right. del Sol.
Right. And Roughing It is, what's that dude's name?
There's Bear Country.
Leon Ruffin.
Leon Ruffin. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Good for him. I like it.
I was sad.
The Gun Club grabbed the mic from Max Caster, who's about to rap. Oh, you want to talk heel business? Oh, my goodness.
Denying us a Max Caster rap. That is.
Oh, just
this really makes
building.
Me sad.
Why?
Because I really liked the situation that was happening.
This is true.
And I think everyone liked it.
Yes.
I don't like the Gun Club outside of this situation.
I think so. They've done I think that they since we first saw them, they have really upped their game. They have really dialed in on their characters and why we're mad at them, basically. And I think that this is the appropriate arc for them. They got to be in a place where they executed a double turn. Like, they turned the Acclaimed face as they went super heel. I guess it was just a single turn, but I think that everybody came out of this much stronger.
I think so.
In terms of like performance and just heat from the audience.
I feel like the Acclaimed, everyone always loved them, but daddy ass. Scissor me daddy ass.
And that's why the shot of Anthony Bowens reaching up for a scissor and getting slapped down.
So denied.
Oh my God.
Magical.
It was
no
so.
More naughty ass.
Oh my God. That was. Like to really think about why you're feeling it like about all of that, like that I'm like, oh, I got sad, because, daddy ass wouldn't scissor Anthony Bowen. but it was like this thing of, like loyalties and betrayal and all of that. So like, there's this bizarre, juxtaposition of like, tideless heavy themes and the absolute most absurd like trappings to clothe it in. Oh boy,
this is the sort of thing where you know, you try and explain to someone why you like professional wrestling, and it's so hard because, like, this is, there is no analog in any other form of entertainment. Like, the amount of stuff that you have to accept, you know, like the suspension of disbelief combined with the ridiculousness of it, while at the same time feeling genuine emotion about a thing happening, even though it is just so far bonkers away from reality. It's just a really strange mix that can only happen in professional wrestling. And God bless them. They just nailed this. It is just perfect.
It was a good match, but like the whole thing really hinges on what's happening with the Acclaimed and the Gun Club and our collective mourning in the loss of Scissor Me Daddy Ass and the Ass Boys.
Yeah. And it just is a shame that we lived out the whole lifespan of Scissor Me Daddy Ass without a shirt.
Without a shirt. I know they probably were like, we won't get the right people buying it. And it's like, there's no wrong people.
No.
It's all the right people. Yeah, put it on all the fetish websites. Put it everywhere on earth. Everyone needs it.
Look, yeah, I mean, if you're serious about representing, like, and reaching out and all of that, like LGBTQ stuff, I mean, you gotta put that shirt out there.
Yeah, dude, put it out there.
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do right now. I'm gonna Photoshop a tombstone for a Scissor Me Daddy Ass.
Oh, and,
I don't know if we're gonna put it on a T-shirt, but I'm definitely going to post that image on our Twitter feed because we need it.
Think we all need a moment of silence and collective mourning.
Yep.
And put together a package of all the times Anthony Bowen got that Scissor Me Daddy Ass.
Oh.
And like, what song is going to play over it?
Ass Boys by Danhausen? I don't know. Something sad.
I will remember you.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
we still have a bunch of segments to get through because this opposite of Blood and Guts, which was like 7 segments. This one's, I think, we hit 20 this week. But
yeah, there's like 6 more segments, I think.
So many more.
We got a Miro promo.
He's gonna destroy the gates of hell, y'all.
Flawless. All of this. Yeah. Just great, great stuff. Also, too, you know, like visually, this is a little bit like House of Black, but it's so distinct. Like, he has such a presence, and give me more stuff. Give me different stuff. I want different takes, and they're just delivering it to me in spades here this week.
Yeah. I gave this a thumbs up. It's great.
Thumbs up.
This was a classic in terms of like Miro's grandiosity. So that's an obvious thumbs up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really curious what it'll be like with him and Malachi. I almost said Alistair because in my mind I was thinking, you know, they used to be on this, you know, WWE at the same time. I don't think they ever were against each other that whole time. So it's interesting that they will be this time. Yeah. Maybe they did before and I just never saw it. I mean, it's likely.
I haven't thought about his old name in forever, actually.
I have. Every time I go to write down Miro, the first thing that comes to mind is Rusev. Sucks. Sorry. You know, hey. I'd love to have – Miro just does not click with me, the name.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. But it's all right. It's not a terrible name or anything. It's just, for some reason, Rusev clicks so much more for me in my mind. Doesn't matter.
We have Nyla Rose and Marina Shafir versus, and I'm sorry, this is a terrible name and I hate it, Thunderstorm.
Yes.
What's wrong with it?
Obviously, it's Thunder Rosa, Toni Storm. Of course you're going to go. You might hire Toni Storm just so that you could have a team name Thunderstorm at some point. That being said, Nyla and Marina come in with umbrellas, which is
so stupid,
silly. And I'm not going to say that I'm mad at it, but it is what it is.
Also, I wrote a big boo because they put Thunderosa and Toni Storm together. I hate that they're tagging. I hate this.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, it's like they're trying to give Toni the belt and give her the belt heat that really should be reserved for Rosa. And Rosa should be given the same amount of time and attention that Britt got. Should be getting the same time and attention as other belt holders get, you know. But like Toni Storm, I don't understand it.
I don't think they're going to give her the belt because
I don't think so.
I don't think she's getting over as much as they thought she would or as they would like her to. If she came in and just like blew the doors off the place, then maybe they would. And I would be bummed about it. But like, I don't think that she is. And there's, you don't want to take
it off. The only person that really did that was CM Punk.
Yeah.
In the length of time he was at the company, which I know he technically still is, but at the length of time he was at the company, I mean, he literally walked in and then a few months later he's got the belt, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But
I hate Thunder's silver costume.
You don't like it?
You know, no, no.
I know they did it to match her with Toni.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't hate it.
I thought it was okay.
I mean, I thought she looked cute.
Normally, I think her her ring gear is top notch, and this one just like, yeah. Overall, though, it was a good match. Shafir is doing, I think, a lot better work these days, and probably just like getting to work with these people, and you know, like people getting used to her idiosyncratic style, like,
yeah,
which is great. Again, I want to see more different things. So,
and Nyla being Nyla.
Oh yeah,
enormous.
And I like that if they're not going to do enough women's matches to at least do a tag match that gets more women in the mix and creates more potential for storylines that would motivate additional matches. Like I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I gave it a thumbs up.
I did too. We have Toni Schiavone with Jade Cargill, Stokely Carmichael. Stokely, what the hell was that?
Kira Hogan.
Ugh.
He's like, we need an interim baddie, and that's what it's all about.
Layla Gray is now our interim baddie. Jade Cargill does not care for it, and she's like, if she doesn't deliver, that's your ass.
Which means she's gonna deliver.
There's
no way they can get rid of Stokely.
Well, no, I think probably what would happen is she would just like smack him around or just like be verbally berate him, you know, that kind of thing. He's not going anywhere. He goddamn well better not, because
I know, he's so good.
Perfect.
Oh my god, yes.
And Layla Gray, it's interesting. I'm curious if they have big plans for her or if this is just like part of a, you know, just a Jade thing, and you know, like she's gonna have a succession of women or something like that. Don't know, but I'm generally for all of this.
What's interesting is she could become queen and have like a court.
Sure.
There's lots of things you can do with someone like Jade.
I think the thing she's doing now is already perfect. Like, you don't have to add any trappings to it just because she's kind of like Stone Cold. Like, you didn't have to add anything to his gimmick, which was that he was a badass. You don't have to add anything to Jade because she's already you can't stop
perfect.
Watching.
Perfect. Yeah.
I think it would be a lot of fun if they did have like a series of women all trying to live up to Jade's expectations and like repeatedly failing,
like out baddie each other.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. I gave this a thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two. And now we're on to Daniel Garcia.
Mm-hmm. Toni Schiavone again, Night of 1,000 Tonys.
It was kind of fast. Garcia's, you know, like got some words in his head and he's putting them out there, and they're all just sort of very standard and beat you up kind of thing. But I liked his intensity in this.
I actually really liked this promo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't always like what he does. I think he's been working, obviously, with some great people and getting better at it or something. But I really liked it.
He's got a decent swagger to him.
Yeah.
I feel like his mic work is improving as he's sort of learning how to incorporate that and, you know, make it his own. So
yes, yeah. I agree. Yeah, he's feeling more comfortable in himself and in this, you know, position, I guess, at the company. And I don't know what it is, but it just feels more authentic. It comes across well, and he's, you know, getting all the important information out there, as well as just like delivering on intensity and all that good stuff. I don't know. I really liked it. Thumbs up from me.
Yep. Yep.
Calder.
It was, I like where his future is. I guess I don't know that I was like really insane for this one, but it was solid. I guess it was a middle for me.
Okay.
All right.
We've got FTR, just jawing a little bit. 7-star FTR, don't you know?
Yeah, they're challenging the Briscoes, which are they also known as Dem Boys?
That's correct.
Okay.
I was never a particularly big fan of them because they
have Dem Boys.
like sort of hick characters I've never been particularly fond of, but they definitely have their own spin on it. And in the ring, they're just phenomenal. I watched their response promo online, and it was very fun. So like, I'll watch more of them.
Yeah, I mean, they made me want FTR made me want to watch it. They're great. I love them, and you know, who doesn't? Thumbs up.
Absolutely.
Same. And now we have the main event. The final match of the night is Brody King versus Mox. Show of hands, anybody who thought Brody King was going to win this match? No one?
No.
I actually, honestly, right. I really thought they were going to have Brody King win. I really didn't think so. Because, like, you know, for Mox to lose to Brody King would not be, like, a bad thing.
I mean, Mox sold it in his promo, you know, about how scary he is. And all night long, the announcers were putting over what a big, scary dude he is. So, like, yeah, they did a good job of that.
Yeah. I don't know. I just...
And as much as I love Brody, though, like, he's... they're not going to give him the belt right now.
Right. Well, yeah.
Nor should they. Because it's, you know... It's John Moxley. He's basically carrying the company until
CM Punk
gets back.
It's like temporary. But if they have a fucking interim thing, I'm just going to scream.
What?
Like if they have a moment where they're like, okay, so now Mox and CM Punk have to fight just to see who can keep the belt, even though technically the only reason why you have the belt right now is because – one of you got injured.
Yeah, no. They'll what'll happen is when Punk gets back, they will have a match to basically unify those two belts. So, and which is a thing that I want to see. Okay. I want to see Punk versus Moxley.
It'll be a good match.
They had that match, didn't they? Am I crazy? No, they didn't. Who was? Who was it?
Danielson. Is that who you thinking of?
No.
For some reason, I don't know. Maybe I've forgotten, but I feel like Regal's thing of Man with the Mask. He's been calling Taz Mr. Maniac. And I do not know if you know this, but Taz's first character was the Taz Maniac.
And he came out.
With like fur lined
like the Tasmanian devil stuff.
Yes.
Oh my god.
So that is such a great pull, and it made me so happy.
That's hilarious.
I love it.
I wonder also, how Taz feels.
Oh, I'm come on, man. He's fine. He is. When you're basically retired from in-ring, like all of your previous gimmicks get to be
our fodder
show, just like your baby pictures. Like, you're not that person anymore. It's fine. You don't have those baby cheeks. No one's pinching your butt. It's fine.
Whoa.
Well, don't, you don't know who's pinching Taz's butt and who's not.
Not in that way that you would a baby. I feel like there's a different vibe there. But this was I really enjoyed this match. Brody King, do think is a viable threat. And yeah, it was enjoyable.
Yeah, I legit thought he was going to win.
Yeah.
He's such a monster. And it could have, like, I was thinking, maybe they'll, have the belt kind of move around a little bit. Because since Punk is injured, you could actually kind of pass it off a little bit, like maybe in small stints, but like it would still kind of create like this crazy run for the belt and a lot of energy and excitement, as opposed to one person holding it for a while, which is usually the person people are like championing for the moment,
Yeah.
So it could have been really neat. And so I was thinking, oh, maybe they'll do something like that. But no,
that would be kind of fun. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Apparently, they're making more long-term plans without CM Punk. Cause he's, he's probably not coming back in the real near term, which is unfortunate.
Like how long? Like what the fuck?
Don't know.
What
no
details
idea.
Do you know?
Nothing, just that Tony Khan was saying that they had plans booked out a ways and then they had to change them because of what they saw in the x-rays or whatever.
There was a gremlin.
Yeah. They fed him after midnight and just can't get him out of the spinal column. I don't know.
That's rough.
Anyway, 93% show. This is
pretty good.
Really good stuff all the way through here. Only a couple of like meh things, which is a bummer, but like, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely go
good.
See the show. Go see pretty the ancillary rating. Material online. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, it's pretty great. It can't be perfect all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty like a high percentage considering how many segments there were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that is, really impressive, all things considered. Twitter us at 999. No, that's me. Yeah. I'm
wow.
at 999.
Do it. Wow. Do it.
Wow.
Feel free.
Trying to funnel away all of our clout to you.
Tweet him. Tweet him with like the worst things.
Jesus. At AE Doubleback. Send us your thumbs when you watch the show. Oh gosh, I think someone did this week and I totally forgot to check.
Embarrassing.
Look
embarrassing.
At us. Such pros.
But do it again. Get at us. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding ding, ding ding, ding ding, ding ding, ding.